You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
So good to see you this morning. I'm just, my heart, if I can just get through this for a second. Oh, my heart is so broken for Central Texas. I don't even know what to say. Back in the 80s, we had taken a youth group down there, and I don't know, but it was a record flood too. I don't know where it is on the scale, but I had gotten my kids out of there. We were down around Green, Texas, and that part of the hill country. And anyhow, I'm telling you, about 2 days later, dadgum, it was a church bus just like ours, 15-seater, and it killed every one of those kids and sponsors in that van. Sorry, I'm a little emotional. Honey was telling me this morning about some new guys. Danny, you're going to come up here. Danny, come pray for me. And anyhow, as they find the bodies, pray for those families that they will find them. Pray for those poor kids that are traumatized, that live through it. Pray for the first responders and the volunteers.
Danny. Father, y'all pray with me. Father, tough morning, especially on our pastor this morning, Lord. We know his heart for kiddos, and same as mine. And Lord, we're broken. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do other than ask you. Ask you to give us the wisdom, what to say, to try to comfort somebody, and anything that we can do at Cross Brand. But be with our pastor this morning. Just give him the wisdom and calm him down to the point where he can get through our service today. And Lord, we love him so much. And just be with him this morning. Give him some strength right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. Sorry, I'm a baby, guys. Try not to be. Two quick things in regard to Central Texas. We will be taking up some collections next Sunday. And you say, well, why don't we do it this Sunday? Because, guys, it takes days to figure out the best place to put it. You know, they're in shock. And so bring your checkbooks next week or your debit cards or whatever. And we will have a game plan. It's just going to take a little while. But we will certainly have that to you next Sunday. The second thing I know and tell you, sounds like I'm just a bearer of bad news, is Dr. David Dykes, bless him, passed away. He was just here, right? Isn't that crazy? It's funny, the last topic that he talked on was angels. As he laid there in that bed, he got to practice what he preached. And they took him to heaven, and there is no telling what he's doing right now. But I do know that the last time he was here, we tried not to say nothing, but he was struggling the last time he was here. And so many of you noticed that when he was here. So pray for his family. I have had the privilege to struggle through this topic for the last several weeks. David was here. Matt made the transition topic and did a phenomenal job. And I thought, you know what? Well, let's just cover the whole realm of angels, good and bad. And so, as you've heard about the good angels, I'm telling you about the bad angels. But more specifically, what I've tried to do is give you some tools to help you in this unseen war that's out there. And we know it's a war in Ephesians chapter 5. I don't know if you've got that on the screen, girls, or not, but it's Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. That's in verse 10. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand. It's going to take effort against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, there it is not against flesh and blood. There is an unseen war. And what I was saying before I was rudely interrupted was I understand those of you that went with a bumper sticker in the 90s, let go and let God, and understand your thinking, because trust me, if there's so much, I'm just going to do everything in my power And I'm just gonna work like it all depends on me, and go to bed like it all depends on God, and sleep all night. The problem with that let go and let God, that does not work when it comes to spiritual warfare. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. And you're just sitting there going, well, whatever happens, happens. That drives me insane. It's like the international Calvinist favorite word, whatever. Whatever. Well, no. We're going to have to do something. And so let me give you a few tools. You was here last week. First thing is this, is get saved. You are not equipped on your own to battle the unseen enemy out there. You're just not. And so when Paul says, take on the helmet of salvation, from every commentator that I've ever listened to, almost every one of them agree that that is you being 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven. 100% sure that you are saved. Can you imagine going to war and not knowing if your guys have got your back? Not knowing whether or not you're on the right team. We've got to get that assurance that we're saved. Number two, we talked about this last week. Please, I guess that dang phone was listening to me, because you would not believe the stuff that's rolled up on my social media feeds this week regarding how many teenagers are in alternative religions right now, especially Wicca. And so I would encourage you to go through your life list and just ask yourself, are there areas in which you are opening yourself up to the demonic, either through direct or indirect means? And then third, here it comes. Put this in your tool chest. You're going to have to resist. We're going to have to resist. Adam Baldwin, or Alec, no, which one is it? Stephen, it's the good one. It's the good Baldwin. Remember him? He was in 8 Seconds. He's a great guy, but he became a Christian. And he said this, he said, I definitely think that since I've become born again, if you understand in the supernatural realm, the spiritual warfare that goes on every day, here's what's interesting. He said, I've had far greater challenges on the personal level than before I became a Christian. You know why the devil's you're always butting heads with the devil? It's you're going the opposite direction from him. Let's be thankful for that. Let's be thankful for spiritual warfare. Let's be thankful that Satan hates us and his minions hate us. 1 Peter 5 says this. Well, let me just do this. I'll just jump down to James. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Here it is. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. That is not passive. That means you're going to have to be the aggressor in this. You're going to have to be proactive. What does that mean? So the word resist is going to mean something different for everybody. Everybody. Because if your deal is porn, that's a whole different level of attack than it is if your favorite sin is worry or your favorite sin is rage. Because all of those are just symptoms, you know. That's not the root problem. And so you'll have to prescribe your own way of resisting, but I will tell you this. There's no person in this building more in tune with the idea of resist than people in 12-step programs. Addicts, alcoholics understand that every single day is a battle. Every day, right? There ain't no let go and let God in 12-step programs. It is we understand that we have to be very intentional about fighting these demons. And so that's why many of you that are in 12-step programs, you're there 7 days a week, literally. We have the awesome opportunity to host NA, Narcotics Anonymous. It's a real quiet group of girls and quiet program, but I was blown away talking to Brittany, how she has just poured her life into it and poured her life into those girls. And those girls do the same for her. But guess what? It's an everyday battle. You cannot go every single day and not expect warfare. It's there. It's going to be there. And I would say the deeper your sin, probably the more and more difficult it is going to be to resist. But keep resisting, guys. There's so many of you that have been sober for decades because you intentionally resisted Satan every single day. And by the way, congratulations to you folks. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. Amen. There's a fourth thing in your toolbox, and it's faith. Now you're going, well, we're Christians. We got faith. No, I know that. The boys, look at these folks in Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. There was so much darkness there, so much of every sin you can imagine. And so God did not make a Christian community or a Christian society. He just gave those Christians the strength to live in that community. And so he would say in Ephesians chapter 6, you realize this, in every situation, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You all, as a believer, have a huge, huge target on you. And so the people of Ephesus understood the analogy, the shield of faith. It is a defensive weapon. So that as arrows are coming in, you're blocking them. Your biggest blocker is faith. And it is understanding that when you walk out of here, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if a demon gets in your tire, which some of you are convinced of that, right? I don't necessarily believe that's the way that works. You probably ought to check the air every once in a while. I'm not trying to be ugly. It is very important that you understand that's going to happen to you. I can assure you I'm going to worry this week about something. It's my favorite sin. And I hate that about me. But, you know, I call honey. She don't pick up. She's divorcing me. Kind of stupid. How does that brain work? But you know what? Here's what I'm thinking. It's still a mystery. We don't know everything we need to know about how demons really war against us, communicate, how they communicate. But I just know this. I got to snap back when that arrow of doubt and that arrow of worry come on me. I just have to say, no, sir, Lord, they're not getting past you. And if they do, it's because you gave them permission. Remember last week in Job? Job suffered, but he was protected, and that was all God's idea anyhow. One day the boys went to cast out demons. That's really next level spiritual warfare. And they came back and said, we couldn't get them out. That sounds like me trying to change the daggum fuel, a filter on Honey's lawnmower. You people from John Deere that engineer those things, I just want 5 minutes in a small room with you. 5 minutes. Couldn't get them out, Jesus. The demons wouldn't come out. And Jesus said, well, that's a faith problem. And then that's where he used the mustard seed analogy. A mustard seed at the time was the tiniest seed ever. And that's all you need. Number next. Believe it or not, you expect me to say this. It's prayer. But I need to give you some extra stuff on prayer. Because most of us, like, I had to get Danny up here to pray for me. I could have tried to limp through. Why would I have done that? That had been prideful, maybe. And number two, I think I would have been in sin because I really felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me to get Danny up here and pray for me. Okay? So here's what's going to happen on your prayer. We're going to have to go beyond this, Lord, help me. I'm struggling. Bye. That's really what some of our prayers sound like. There's no effort. There's no faith. We're not asking for anything really big. And God is wanting us to kind of push that audacity thing. Pray for something that only God could do. You know, if you think about it, some of our prayers, your doctor could fix some of that stuff. Pray bigger than that. Now, in prayer, it's real simple. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. There it is again. Intentional. Aggressive. Proactive. Be persistent in your prayers. Be persistent in your prayers. Elisa Childers, if you don't follow her, she is one of the premier Christian podcasters. She's an apologist and has really, really encouraged a lot of people, including myself. She interviewed a guy. The guy was talking about spiritual warfare. But he kind of, I knew this, but it really woke me up a little bit. He said there's two ways to pray when it comes to spiritual warfare. There are defensive prayers, and that's where most of us stop. Lord, help me. I'm really struggling with rage. I'm really struggling with temptation right now. This dude said this. Quit being a sissy. Start praying offensively. Get ahead of Satan. And so I do that every morning. I just go ahead and get ahead of you. I know the punk's going to mess with me at some point during the day. He's going to mess with me. Now, there are certain things I do, like I don't go to Walmart. Because I know that's going to be a major spiritual battle for me. I love y'all so much, but I cannot help it. I have the sixth sense. I see dumb people. I'm sorry. And so part of my spiritual battle is I try to avoid some of these situations, right? But an offensive prayer is before any battle comes to you, before temptation comes to you. Are y'all praying that for your kids and your grandchildren? Why in the world would any parent or grandparent wait until their kid is struggling to pray for them? Is that not silly? I was talking to Cody Jones the other night, and Rooster, their kid, Levi, was sick. Now, they're new parents. You remember that? Man, your first baby, they sneeze. God help, it's not like that sneeze. I'm telling you, if it's that sneeze, you expect their head to spin around any moment. But Cody and them, they carried that baby to the emergency room. And we'd do that too, wouldn't we, honey? Every time something happened to Micah, we, you know, get him to the hospital, he's dying. No, it's a cold. There, y'all know how you are, right? So my mother-in-law had twins, Daryl and Dwayne. And one of them had a horrible navel condition. Remember that, honey? These first babies? And Miss Marilyn, she couldn't figure out why. It was green. It's nasty. Her dad walked, you know, we're going to take him to the emergency room, got green stuff. I mean, his guts are falling out or something. It was a piece of lettuce. And so, parents, y'all don't hesitate. Before the kid gets worse, you handle it. You go. And maybe it was a, I know this, in my house, when we had the second kid, it's just like, he'll be all right. Third kid, we have a third kid. Please get ahead of your temptation. Please get ahead of your kid's temptation. Matter of fact, I encourage you every morning, look, get you a regimented offensive prayer. I do. I've encouraged y'all to do the same thing. I say the same prayer every morning without fail, but it is an offensive prayer. I want my grandchildren. They're little bitty. Why am I praying for salvation of my babies? Because I want them to be saved. And I want to get ahead of all this garbage that many of you that are 20 and under are struggling with right now. As a matter of fact, many of you 20s and under, I still hope you're here in 2 years or in a Christian community. Many aren't. There's one final thing. Actually, two final things. You know where I'm going with this one. When he talks about the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness, put on salvation. Look at this. But take up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Word of God. The Bible. The problem, again, is many of you are not leveraging Scripture as a weapon. A weapon. And I guess there's just a lot of pansy preachers out there that don't want to sound aggressive from the stage. I'm telling you, this is the real deal, man. You have to use Scripture. And when I say use Scripture, leverage Scripture, that's exactly what I mean. So you know my favorite sin, one of them, worry. I got three scriptures I go to, and I'm just a whacking it. Satan, I only take up 2 hours of my time worrying about something that's probably never going to happen. I got an idea, devil. Won't you take Philippians and eat it? Because I will be anxious for nothing. But through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make my request known unto God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You ain't getting in my head. And then finally, you're going to love this one. Where'd you go? Oh. You're going to love this one. All the music guys like it when I say this. I would leverage music. I would leverage Christian music. Now, I have a few of the contemporary songs. I mean, I was in youth ministry. Come on, man. I was a camp director. Come on, man. So I got all the praise and worship from Paul, just like you do, you and Miss Melanie. Now, y'all probably got more because y'all actually were worship leaders at a church, and you probably got some trauma attached to some of those Christian songs. But you say, well, Mike, where's a scriptural base for that? Okay, I got two of them. Won't read them, but I'll just take you back. When King Saul had a demon messing with him, what made him feel better? Now, a harp would stress me out. If I'm having a bad day and you walk in, I see Danny Rayford walking in with a harp or a flute. That's just going to stress me out more, but not King Saul. So David was a musician. He would be king, but he was a musician. He played the harp. And he would come in, and that would soothe Saul. That would help him in his struggles with the demonic. Not ironic, but it's pretty interesting to me that when you look in the New Testament, oftentimes when the apostles were in jail, what were they doing? Praying and singing. Matter of fact, it was such a witness to the people around them, they couldn't figure out, you're in chains. Okay, you're in a cell, it's locked, and you're in chains. But yet all you want to sing is a hymn. They'd pray and they'd sing, they'd pray and they'd sing. I'm just saying, guys, there are certain songs that help me. They help me so much. And when I was listening to what Riley put together, I thought, holy smoke, those are old-timey hymns. I like it. I like it. Folks, it is very important. You hear me out on this. You don't have to be the devil's rag doll. You hear me? Some of you have so many wounds, they run so deep, and I'm so sorry. Because a lot of your wounds is because the offenses that were caused against you. You didn't have anything to do with it, but now you're living with it. There are others of you here today that you've just gone through life feeling like a little rag doll. I'm telling you, you do not. That's why I'm telling you today, please invite Christ into your life. Two, many of you need to re-invite him. I don't mean to get into your theology about if saved, always saved. All I'm saying, listen, buddy, if you are not sure that Jesus isn't king in your life, make him that way today. Don't be scared. You ain't gonna be perfect. Know this, John said this. You are from God, kiddos. And you had conquered them, who? The world, the world systems, the satanic. Because the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good people of Cross Brand. We thank you for those who serve. We thank you for those that are here. We thank you for our just this cross section of all types. We thank you for our first responders. And I don't want to forget today, but I thank you for this nation. Lord, if there's someone here that isn't sure they know you, I'm going to ask you to give them the strength to either walk down front or number two, from where they sit, simply say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, change me. Father, we are conquerors because of you. Father, I thank you again that you made that possible on the cross. In Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, family.
Thanks for listening to HLE Radio, baby, located in the Christian country music capital of the world. Jennings, Louisiana, the home of Christian country, baby.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.